Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dermot Brereton joins me. Thanks to Tyre Power, your trusted Aussie-owned tyre experts. And don't forget, AFL Nation returns tonight with Carlton v. Richmond. Gerard Whateley, Matt Hill and Dermot Brereton will be calling the action from 7 p.m. tonight. Derm, great to have you on for Tyre Power. Great to have you back.
Hello, Duane. And thank you to all the people at Tyre Power as well. Wonderful, wonderful people.
Can you get tyres for that big thing, or have you traded it in for a Kia Ute now that you're part of the starring role in the cast in that Kia Ute ad?
Yes, I can get them at Tyre Power. I actually did get them at Tyre Power. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm just out looking at the tyre now. They're 31.5, so yeah, they're big tyres. No, I haven't seen the Kia Ute. No one's seen the Kia Ute yet. And we are held to secrecy on pain of death if we are to reveal the name of the Kia Ute.
Right.
So
you know the name. You're just not allowed to tell me.
I've got a feeling, yes. Yes, I reckon I know the name. I could be bloody wrong, but I reckon I do.
What's the first letter? What's it start with?
It's one of 26.
I had to go there. What's it rhyme with?
It starts with a consonant.
All right. Okay, so it doesn't start with a vowel.
No, correct.
So you've narrowed it down. All right. Well, if we ask more questions, we'll get it narrowed right down. Derm, who wins tonight? Let's start with tonight. Who wins tonight? You got any thoughts as to anything other than a Carlton win?
Yes. Yes, I do. But I think Carlton do win. But what I saw last week, there were moments when Richmond were awful at the stoppage, and then they came good. Noah Bolter changed it a bit for the person who leads the charge. When he went into the ruck as a really mobile ruckman, he sort of changed the mix in there. But what I saw that was a constant was, and what I've seen all pre-season, and I've watched actually with the naked eye Richmond on a couple of occasions, and that is they are screaming out for Tom Lynch his return. So they get Tom tonight, but Tom hasn't played, you know, I'm sure he's been on the bike and he's been in the pool with the running vest on and his heartbeat's been going to all these certain standards that they require and the like, but he hasn't played a full throttle game of AFL footy for quite some time. So their best footy will be when Tom is up and running. Can Tom last the game? If he's going to be any good after sort of, you know, 75, 80 minutes of football, he'll be sort of like standing and overpowering in a standing position his backman opponent, which he's a chance. He'll get Lewis Young, but when you talk about movement that is required from your key forward, that's going to run out somewhere. So if Richmond are to win, they need to have a modest lead of sorts somewhere around three-quarter time.
What about tomorrow night? Any concerns for Collingwood?
I thought Collingwood were pretty good last week. I heard some of the vernacular around inaccurate kicking. The inaccurate kicking by the Magpies last week was one of the two most important aspects. I take away the third. The Giants are bloody good. You know, I've got them as my number one seed at this point in time for the AFL. The two aspects were that, they kicked poorly. Now, had they kicked better, they'd have been a chance to win. Don't think they would have won, verbatim, if they had kicked accurately. But they were a better chance to win had they kicked accurately. They, without Jeremy Howe and even Billy Frampton down there to just mind someone, the young lad who played his first game, they allowed contested marks within goal shooting range, which Jesse Hogan took advantage of, which Aaron Cadman took advantage of. That doesn't happen if Jeremy Howe's there and they have that rollover defence that can cover most options in the critical areas of the ground, in the critical areas of the forward line. So, yeah, those two aspects, I think, they can get better with when you take them into account. But definitely the inaccuracy in goal gave the Giants a chance. Well, gave them back possession, and they were pretty good at moving the ball from one end of the ground to the other. I think they should be okay.
How are your Hawks going to go against the Bombers? Big game for both.
Well, it's a perfect start for the Hawks, really, because there is no pressure on Hawthorn. Everybody is looking at them saying, I'm sure they'll put pressure on themselves, but everybody's looking at them saying, they can't win, they've got too many injuries. Yes, they've got some real bad injuries or real good players out, which is bad for the team. Will Day is a star. But it actually takes pressure off the team. Now, one thing you notice about last year, Hawthorn were incredibly dangerous when not under pressure. They weren't going to make the finals, and they come out and they knock over Brisbane at the MCG, they knock over Collingwood at the MCG when the pressure was off. Now, round one, pressure should be on everyone, except if you're regarded as, you can't win because you've got so many injuries. The pressure all goes on to Essendon because they're expected to win. They're expected to be better than they were last year. I honestly think Essendon probably should win this. But that's a flip of role reversal in terms of pressure here. So I've got a sneaky feeling that unless Essendon can really put them away early, the Hawks are right in this up to their neck.
I like it. Essendon celebrating 40 years since the 84 flag as well. It was a great rivalry you were part of, Derm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to this. Ian Finlay, a lot of Essendon supporters will know Fingers. Great Essendon man, an advocate at the tribunal. Did his time in the police force as well. I get on well with all the Essendon boys as much as we used to, and excuse me, my vernacular, we used to belt the shit out of each other. Honestly, we'd come off the ground and you'd end up with two stitches in an eyebrow and a fat lip, and your opponent, you'd broken his nose and he'd punched you in the back of the head, and you'd got 12, 14 possessions and one of the two teams would win by single figure margin. You'd come off and you'd say, God, I'm not ready to do that any time again soon. But my God, I feel alive. And it was combative football at its absolute best. A little bit like the 84 grand final. I remember watching one Port Adelaide played again. I think it was Norwood. Did you play in that one, Dwayne?
I did in the 84 grand final when there was a fight whilst the national anthem was being sung pre-game. We were fighting. Yeah. Didn't quite settle. Jackie Love was singing the national anthem while there were punches being thrown.
Oh, look, I know we don't live by those ways these days, and of course not. But we can look back at it and say a bygone era, and you can get a little bit of a laugh. That's all we can do is have a bit of a laugh at it. But that era playing against Essendon, my God, they had stars everywhere, absolute stars. To put that Essendon team of 84, 85 together in this time, this day and age, I'm not suggesting anything, but because a lot of those players in those days played because they're getting paid well, but they played because they loved their club. They weren't moving for 30, 50% more in salary increase. I mean, to put that Essendon team on the ground these days, you're looking at $12 to $15 million in salary cap. They were that bloody good. And a fantastic bunch of blokes. I get to catch up with the great Billy Duckworth tomorrow in the luncheon. So we'll get in there and have a and and wax lyrical. I don't know how lyrical Billy will be, but we'll have a bit of a chin wag. He's a ripper. Yeah, really looking forward to it. Almost as much for meeting up with the old Essendon blokes, yeah.
And did Mason Cox bring back any memories? Did you think he channeled a bit of you?
I really like Fly's take on this. There wasn't a great deal in it, but I said it's before the game. It was kind of harmless, but it did require some form of not censure, but some form of correcting, so that the next time someone doesn't take it to the next level up from that. So yeah, you nip it in the bud now, and you say, "Naughty boy, move on." I think Mason Cox has been awesome. We often look at players and say, you know, they'll rile their coaches because they will do something, say something that the opposition, their coach will say. Don't give them any more ammunition. Alan Jeans used to say that to me all the time. And I'd smile back at Jeansy and he'd tell me off even further, because my reply to him would be, well, I want them to be at their best. There's no point beating them if they're half-cocked, Yabby. Give me their best and I'll beat it. And so, you know, he'd say, don't go saying that. So, but I reckon Mason Cox, for all the stuff we look at in the US and we love, and we cannot get enough of NBA, we cannot get enough of NFL, Mason Cox brings a bit of that psyche into our sport. And, you know, it might become a little bit more regular from other players who see it. I think it's fantastic. It creates enthusiasm for the fans to jump on board of. It creates talk back. We're talking about it now. I think he's been awesome for our game.
And you mentioned Ian Fingers Finlay. He had a one win, one loss record with me. He helped you out quite a number of times. What was his win-loss ratio with you at the tribunal?
Well, 16 representations for 9 guilty verdicts. But a lot of people would think that my record wasn't that good. So I had 7 get-offs. So I think Fingers might have got 1 or 2 of them. Not great. Hey, before you let me go, I've been listening to snippets this morning. I've been up a ladder painting, I might add. And great listening. What is the one thing after a game of football when we are doing the coverage, whether it be radio or Foxtel on TV, what is the one thing that supporters will complain to the high heavens about once a game has been completed and their team wins? What's the one thing that they will go troppo if we don't show?
The song. If we don't show the song, they go crazy.
Yep. What's the ultimate version of the song?
It's everyone.
The premiership flag.
Oh, yes. So you think Collingwood's doing a disrespectful thing to their fans?
Look, Collingwood are welcome to do whatever they want. But having been out there, and I'm not trying to sound, you know, insincere, but having been out there 5 times when we raised the flag, we went out, did our warm-up, ran around, did whatever we did, and then for 90 seconds before the bounce, we ran over, and the number one, the partner, the lady of the number one ticket holder, would unfurl the flag. We never lost any concentration from it. Didn't take much of it. I think it'll take less time than Welcome to Country, which I'm certain they will stand to attention for. So I think if they're capable of standing to attention for that, and that having no impact on their pre-game preparation, I reckon 90 seconds for unfurling of the flag would be pretty good. I think it is the ultimate in terms of that missing the theme song, you know, of your team when they win. It's the ultimate revelation of success. And I think your supporters, I won't say they're being disrespectful, Collingwood, I'll never say that about them. They're a wonderful organisation. But I reckon the supporters, it means a lot to a lot more supporters. I don't know, 90% or more supporters would love to see the unfurling of a flag. It gives them the chance to scream for a final time about how good season 2023 was.
You better give your mate Ned a call then, tell him he got it wrong. Fix the time.
Ned might punch me in the back of the head again next time I'm looking the other way.
One last one before I let you go, Derm. How many goals did you kick in that? We had a caller earlier on about you and I playing on each other for a short period of time. In that under-18 TAC Cup, whatever you want to call it, Teal Cup Grand Final at Waverley, which I think you ended up starring in front of about 85,000 people. How many goals did you kick in dragging Victoria over the line single-handedly?
Well, let's get those facts right. It was 91 and a bit thousand.
Right.
And Collingwood were playing Hawthorn. We were the curtain raiser. So by the end of the game, at three-quarter time, up until the end of our game, there was 90,000 people in there, and clearly most of them were barracking for anybody running around in a Victorian jumper. I played on a young lad by the name, well, we were all young, Fioravanti, and I had four goals to three-quarter time, and played all right in the last quarter. I remember the young bloke, Russell, coming down and playing on me for a quarter.
Tried to stop you. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think I kicked any more. I'll have to go back and have a look at the numbers off the cuff. But I think I still got a few touches. But I think we came out of it, you and I, on an even keel for the final quarter. But somehow the Vics got up.
And we came out of it great friends. Derm, great to have you on. Always good to reminisce with you. And we'll talk again next week. Good luck tonight on SEN's coverage.
Thank you, mate. And just for one for the Boffins who love facts and figures, that was the 1981 Teal Cup at Waverley Park. And of a squad of 25, 16 boys played AFL, VFL, senior football. Pretty good result.
Yeah, there were some superstars in that Victorian team. There was in the SA team, Motley and a heap of those as well. Great to have you, Derm. It was fun to be playing that day. Good to have you as well here. I think in our team that day, well, I could rattle through a heap of them, but there were some superstars in both teams.